You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking together today on this path of life. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. And you can email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can also log on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com and check out the old archives or the archives. I hate to call them old. The relationship ideas, all the concerns you have as parents and as individuals facing a world, a complex world, they're really pertinent. You just kind of substitute certain things. Some things are trending, some things aren't. So it's all there. We have lots of great contributors. Breadboxmedia.com also is the general page. And you can become a friend of the show by clicking on to friend of the show, scrolling to Dr. Michelle, and there you go. So today, we're going to kind of wind up the concept that we were talking about yesterday with kindness and the listener who was wondering, am I being unkind? Her question was to look inside of herself. Am I being unkind because I feel unheard and unseen and minimized by my boyfriend? And my boyfriend's a very nice guy. There was this confusion with her, or this conflict where she went into herself thinking there's something I'm doing. Now, in a lot of recovery programs, in a lot of, in a lot of our religious organizations, a kind of moral or the relationship ethics, of course, is to always be giving and be, and to serve your fellow, to love your fellow man as you would love yourself. And so you try to give someone, especially someone you are invested in, someone that you love. She was with him, I think, a couple of years at least, and she's still with him. And so her first thought was to give the relationship a benefit of the doubt, give him the benefit of the doubt. But then she also at the same time put it upon herself. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm being uncharitable. Maybe I'm being unforgiving. So I wanted kind of address that, tweak that just a little bit. And then I also want to talk about, which will go right into this topic, about waiting. What are you waiting for? We always wait for the right thing. And I've seen it in homeless people, and I've seen it in executives who make a darn good living, who have everything at their fingertips. Same thing. There's a certain thing that happens inside of us that we think that if we just have the right, and then fill in the blank, if we have the right house, the right job, the right relationship, the right weather, the right anything, we'll wait until that happens. We'll wait until we've had this much time in our writing class, or we'll wait until we sound good on the piano. Well, we just always wait. Then there are those people who just jump out no matter what. That may not be your temperament, but where's the balance between waiting and living your life? Where is that balance? So we're going to talk about gaining that balance, maybe looking at your own life to see what your balance structure is, and also to look at your relationships. And say, what are you waiting? Are you always waiting? Whether something is spoken by your boyfriend or your spouse, I will stop drinking when, or we will move when, or you can do your classes when. And is it reasonable and is it not reasonable? Do you find yourself waiting, even if they have not declared that, but in your mind, you are waiting for the right set of circumstances to fall like dominoes and the person will wake up and things will be better. So when do you say something is absolutely not acceptable? And when do you wait? So we're going to explore those. There's a lot of stuff written about that. There's a lot of studies. There's a lot of science. There's a lot of history on our cultural relationship ethics and how we go about living our life, what we expect in marriage. And oftentimes we don't really have, if I asked you right now, what exactly do you expect? Not what you want, but what do you expect in a relationship? What do you expect? And you wrote it down. Would you be able to actually spell out a few things, more than one? I expect to be loved, or I expect to love. I expect, what do you expect? Is it a general thought, or do you have clear boundaries for yourself? What would be unacceptable? And by unacceptable, it doesn't necessarily mean that you just wash your hands of the relationship. It means that you don't accept it. There's a time when you say, you know, I've been waiting without actually declaring I'm waiting. I've been waiting for 20 years, 30 years. You hear that a lot with people that have had long-term marriages. I'm waiting. It will change. I'm waiting. It will change. So some things do change, but some things don't change. When you have things that are unacceptable and they keep cropping up and you wait for them to change, if someone is verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and of course, physically abusive, and you somehow think, okay, well, that was then. I'll wait. Maybe it's done now. And 6 months go by, it happens again. 2 years go by, it happens again. And yet you're getting demoralized. Okay, so now what do you do? So we're going to look at this about waiting from everything from more fun stuff like, you know, are you waiting for Mr. Right? And we have to ask, well, where are you looking for Mr. Right? Are you looking for Mr. Right? Where are you waiting? So maybe you're at the wrong place, or maybe you're at the right place. So we're going to look a little bit at that. We're going to go all the way from there to also waiting for things to unfold. It's the same thing I read on one of the, I do a lot of different research. I just look at just tons of articles on a certain subject oftentimes before I bring it to you. And someone put it like this, and it was quite funny. They said, if you wanted to learn French and you thought it was great advice to just wait until you learned French, you wouldn't learn French. And yet somehow we have some, the more ethereal, we understand that we can't wait for certain things. We can't just wait for them to appear. We're not going to wake up one day and find that we know French, most likely. We're going to have to decide that's what we want to do, put ourselves out into the situation where we're going to be exposed to that, or we're going to be able to learn that, do our homework to make sure that we're not putting our money into some fly-by-night thing that never delivers. A nice, good, solid French course. What do you need? Do you need business French? Do you need conversational French? Do you need it to understand opera? What do you need? And then go forward. So we're going to look at that as well. So in the few minutes that we have for this segment, for our beginning segment, let's revisit our listener. And our listener was really distressed because she seemed to feel both emotions and both realities equally strong. He's a wonderful guy. I really like him. We've been together a while. And yet, whenever I put forth anything, he undermines or demeans or describes to me why it's not important. So in other words, according to her, he was not verbally abusive, and the undermining and the demeaning was a feeling that she had. So there were no actually words like, oh, that's a stupid idea. But there was a constant barrage of how she described it to me, There was a constant barrage of why her idea was not a good idea. The case in point, and we'll get to this on the other side of the break. The case in point was they lived maybe 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away, depending on from each other, depending on traffic. And they both had jobs. They both had to travel different directions, a good 30 minutes on their jobs. They both worked hard. And for some reason, his viewpoint was that it's easier to always come to my house. It's easier for that. And it was easier for him, of course. And this is what she was concerned about, that no matter what they did, or if she wanted to see a certain movie, there was always good reasons, quote unquote, on why it should be his way. Now, what do you do with that? We're going to revisit that. And then we're also going to look at the whole concept of waiting and balance. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Grab your coffee, look out the window, be grateful for something in your life right now. And join me on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. I hope you have looked out your window, even your internal window, and seen something in your environment to be grateful for, even if it's just a breath or the fact that you opened at least one eye. That would be a lovely thing. So, all right, now let's take a look at some of these things. Let's go back to our listener. So our listener is confused. She likes this guy. They have lots of things in common. Some things not so much in common, but it seems that no matter what, she's always acquiescing to what he wants, and not because she's just doing it out of insecurity or whatever, because it just gets to be tiring, because he does not take no for an answer, but not in an aggressive way. He does not take no for an answer. He just keeps relentlessly giving her all the reasons why what she is concerned about, she should not be concerned about. So case in point, she goes to work. She comes home. She's very tired. She does not want to get in a car and drive for another half hour. She has two pets at home that she needs to take care of. He tells her how to take care of them, that they don't need to be taken care of, that he leaves his pets a certain way. He puts them outside, or he does whatever he does with them. He gives her all what he does and says, you don't really need to worry about that. But she does. He gives. And so what's the problem with that? Well, there are two things to look at here. Just taking something simple like pets. So she's a human being. She's an adult. She has pets. She's responsible for them. We assume that she knows something about her pets. We assume that she knows that they're, that we assume, since she is, seems to be a reasonable woman, that she feeds them and they're well taken care of. And she knows what they can do and what they can't do, whether they should be out together alone, whether they can be in the house alone, because she knows the history of her animals. He has his animals, and he knows the history of those animals. She would not treat, she made a very big point with saying, I would not leave my dog outside the way he leaves his dog outside. I just won't do it. And he doesn't chastise her for not doing it his way. He just says, you don't need to worry about that. And goes on. Then the next thing and the next thing. I know you've all had friends like that, where you say, no, I really can't do this. Well, why can't you do it? Why can't you come to the prayer group with me? Or why can't you go say a rosary with me? Well, I have to pick up the kids and then I have to do this. Well, what time do you have to do that? What time do you have to pick up the kids? Well, 4 o'clock. Well, you could do it. You could take them and they have their your whole life planned out. And what that does, it rolls over you like a steam train. I don't know what I was going to say. A steamroller. There you go. it rolls over you like a steamroller, because here are the subtitles of this whole conundrum. The subtitles are, I am a one-man show, so I'm speaking kind of metaphorically, and I'm speaking in generalizations about the non-abusive person. And it is a slight, it's not really abuse, but it really is, it's a one-way street. And we don't know the rest of the story. Should they get married, what will it be like then? Because then it does delve into abuse. Whenever you keep someone down for your own gain, that is a form of abuse. It may not be with a put down, but it may be that everything you think, want, do, down to how you do your laundry, is narrated. It is constructed for you. And you are approached as if, she has been approached as if, she really just isn't seeing how she could really better live her life. And what the bottom line always comes out to be is that it's his way. It's his way. And for a while, she was trekking over to his place more than he was trekking over to her place. And she just got tired of it. And she feels that is it a problem with her? Now, in a normal situation, there's give and take. In a normal situation, you want to go, okay, fine. I feel tired. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to, you know, deal with my animals. I'm not real happy about the way I'm doing it, but sure, let's do it and let's have a nice night, because we give and take, because you do the same for me. And you don't do something to get something back, but it is a give and take. There's reciprocity. And even in all the premarital things they have in the Catholic Church and in other churches to help you think through the relationship, this is a big thing. Is there reciprocity? And if you have to really stretch and say, but yes, but look at all the things he does. He always remembers a birthday. He always does this. But then you have to look further. Someone who does, it's not even a matter of anger. It's just a matter they cannot see outside their own needs. They cannot move outside of themselves. Telltale sentence is, it's easier this way. And the only one it was easier for is him. So when I speak to someone like that, or if you are someone like that, or if I've been in these situations, what happens is you find yourself starting to feel a little bit dismayed, a little bit down, a little bit like not even opening your mouth about those subjects, because you know what you're going to be met with. You're going to be met with a barrage of all the logical reasons that you can't do it the way you want to do it, or the way you feel you need to do it. And the bottom line subtitle to all that is that your opinion, the way you live your life, is not good enough. It's not valued. It's not seen. So when her telltale words also were, I feel unheard, I feel unseen. That we don't argue with. She feels unheard. She feels unseen. So we have to ask why. Then we have to ask, is it in balance? Is it an out of balance? Some people, you look at briefly, you don't want to relive and rehash your past forever, but it's very helpful. I've had many people say to me, it is so helpful to look at a pattern because I never noticed it. We just move on in life and we think we've either dealt with something that's been rather traumatic, or we don't even see that we spent a lifetime in a family, that one family member or you as a family member were constantly dismissed, constantly demeaned, constantly looked over, patted on the head, and never taken basically seriously. You never really could weigh in. So you were unseen, you were unheard, or your needs just weren't met. Could have been through another marriage or another long-term relationship. Could be a lot of different things. It could certainly be in your job. But the bottom line is she felt unseen and unheard. So we want to find out, Are you being unseen and unheard in this, in the present tense? Or is this something you're bringing in, that you always feel unseen and you always feel unheard and you always take things personally? Now, if you do, don't take that as being, oh, yes, and so therefore I'm not any good, because that's where the next step goes. Sometimes it's the awareness. Most of the times it's awareness. And then it's stepping back, being your own anthropologist, and take a look. Wow, I have felt this way all the time. In all these different situations, the dentist calls and I'm making this up. Well, I heard this once from someone else, not the person who wrote in. But the dentist calls and cancels my appointment and I feel I take it personally. So something like that, all the way to this woman. So where are we going to weigh in? Well, one of the things you do is you sit back and say, wait a minute, yes, in this situation, or I felt slighted by the waitress when I could clearly see that the place was packed and she was running like a little chicken with her head cut off, trying to get people their food, and she wasn't talking to anybody. You do a little bit of your own, whether it's cognitive behavioral therapy, want to put a tag on it, but it really is very simple stuff. So another case in point. Someone talked to me the other day about a choice they made, and I thought it was really awesome, and I asked if I could share it with you, and here's the situation. This gentleman is training some German shepherds, and they're training the German shepherds in a thing called Schutzhund, which is a very specific and very prescribed and very intense situation. And so, but he's also had a lot of issues in his life. So he is training these dogs and he's dependent on other places to go and train these dogs. Now, he himself always has a very variable schedule. He can be with a set of dogs and owners and that could make him run overtime. He could have a little extra time. He might have to change if something really catastrophic happens, he might have to change on a dime. So that happens to him all the time. And he knows that that happens to all the other dog trainers all the time. So when he's coming to me and asking me some questions about how he saw this, his first reactions were about it being more aggressive and being angry. And here's what happened. So he's supposed to go out to this big ranch and he's supposed to meet someone out there, another dog trainer out there. And when he starts to communicate, the dog trainer is not sure if they're going to be there or not. Now, he is in the exact same situation almost every single day. I will tell you what he did and what he thought and how bad he felt, but how he chose to turn that around on the other side of the break. But this is what we can do. This very exercise that I will show you is what we can do to begin to remold and reshape how we look at relationships, how we are in relationships, and what we should accept and what really is over the top. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break. Grab your coffee. Be grateful.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. And you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We're walking this road together. It's all about relationship. It's all about what eyes you see from. Are you looking internally? Are you looking externally? Are you able to combine both of them to help you through life? So let's take a look again, at this relationship. We're going to go also into waiting. when we're waiting for in life. What are you waiting for in life? I want you to ask that question to yourself. What are you waiting for? And sometimes you'll say, no, I'm not really waiting for anything. But if you really look at it, you are waiting. You're waiting for that proverbial moment where someone else wakes up. Or you're waiting for that proverbial moment when someone else walks in to your life. You're waiting until that job comes. You're waiting. Now, your temperament is your temperament. So you can be a non-waiter and be a little bit shy. That's okay. You don't have to be the go-getter person who goes out with a one-man band and a monkey on a sidewalk and asks for change. You don't have to be that person. You don't have to be that person who decides that they're going to sit down against all odds and do the outrageous and just write every single day for years in some coffee shop. Could be you, and that could be okay. But it's not an easy task. Things that look like that just happen upon people, they don't just happen upon people. And that's a little pet peeve that I have. And we're going to get back to my listener. But this is a pet peeve I have. And I have it actually within the church as well, is that sometimes we think that we're told that if we just pray, money will come. I mean, I've heard that actually from, doesn't mean it is not a Catholic Church tenet, but I have heard it from priests, basically telling one story after another on a drive to get some money for their mission about how someone gave $10 and then went out to their mailbox. It's kind of the age-old televangelist type marketing tactic. And I really don't, that's no place for that in spirituality. There is no place for that. Because that doesn't happen. So, I'm sorry, I just had another program playing very loudly in my ear. So, but that just doesn't happen. Sometimes it can happen, and it has happened to people. But what is that? Is it because they actually gave $10? There's a lot of people out there who give $10, a lot of charities, and they're still broke. So, you know, we have to really look at this realistically as well. So going back to, and then we're talking about the waiting, and that actually works in with my listener, dear listener. And thank you so much for writing, by the way. I said it yesterday, but I'll say it today too. The waiting, she's been going out for a long time. This has been happening for a very long time. It's been happening as long as she's been going out. She wants to see, even with where they're going to eat. No, you don't really want that. And, you got to like that. You got to like ribs. You have to like omelets, whatever it was that he was talking about. He was telling her what she liked. No, because he didn't like what she liked. No, but these are the best. You got to come to the best. You got to see the best. Everybody's got to see this kind of movie because it's so exciting. Maybe she didn't like thrillers. Oh, but you got to like thrillers. No, she doesn't have to like thrillers. But she's waiting because she thinks that maybe with enough time, she may not intellectually think this, but it's almost like it loses its punch after a little while. And it's not so bad to go and eat ribs when she really wanted tofu. But it's a steady diet of this. This is where we get into a problem. And when you're looking at projecting outward, what is your relationship going to look like? And when you go to, perhaps you go to Precana and you take a look, what is it that, where are the sticking points in the relationship? Because you are not going in with a full complement. Once you get married, it's not going to change. Chances are things like that will only get worse. Both parties have to understand not only, and according to this woman, especially in this relationship, everything seems to be fine. And even the way he approaches needing his own way seems fine to her. She feels unheard, but it's not real aggressive. So it's more difficult to put your finger on or say there's a problem, not just say, oh, what's the big deal? Everybody has quirks. The point is, in this relationship, it would be not seeing her and not hearing her if you said that to her, right? So if you're the person and you feel this way, let's find out why you feel this way. So you have to look and be, again, your own anthropologist. And so when we're looking at why you are reacting right now. So we've already gone through, we've seen, okay, now have you seen this in the rest of your relationships? Have you seen this where you take certain things personally? And as I was going to tell you before we left for the break, this dog trainer, very different kind of person, a man's man out there with these big giant dogs that are doing big giant things that are very specific, that they have to wear all kinds of garb, you know, and attack dog type things, all this stuff. It's a very specific training that you have to do. And you have to be very focused, very strong. But for some reason, this little part in this man, he was very vulnerable. He took things personally. Even though on the outside and for 90% of his being in a waking day, he doesn't take things personally. So here's what happened. So he's out there, supposed to go to this big ranch. He's supposed to meet another guy, like a dog trainer. And he kept, they were texting. So by, on a good day, that's fraught with problems and miscommunications. So he's texting him that he's going to be, he's caught in traffic or whatever happened when they're going down, I think it was like 60 miles away. And there was some kind of accident. And then the rancher starts texting back, or the other dog trainers at the ranch start texting back. Well, you know, we have some other people that just came in, so we're working with them. So all this back and forth stuff happens. So the guy finally gets there with his dogs and all his equipment, and there's nobody there. Or at least they're not to be seen. So he texts and he says, wait a minute, where are you? And they were doing something else. Now, the communication was bad. No two ways about that. It was bad. And you can make a case that the people who were pretty much planted on the ranch should have continued communication. Are you here? Are you coming at all? Let us know. We're going to start this other process over here. But once you get here, giving him some acknowledgments that this is what we're going to do. That didn't happen. But instead of reacting the way most of us would, he started getting hurt inside. He started getting angry, but he expressed his hurt as anger. So he started getting hurt and he started getting angry. And then he started getting angry at the people. How dare they do this to me? What are they doing? My time is valuable. I'm valuable. They're treating me like I'm not valuable. So that's where we go again. Let's distill it down to that drop. Let's read the subtitles. All the stuff, all the situation, this man, this successful man, the big strong guy, got command over dogs and over police forces and all kinds of stuff. At the end of the day, when we distill it down to the subtitles, I don't feel seen, I don't feel heard, I don't feel valued. That's where he was coming from. So that's where the anthropologist goes. Here's the culture out here. He's a big dog trainer. He's this and that. And of course, you would never expect that he would just muscle his way through it. But when you really sit down and you start sleuthing it out, okay, well, just look here, look here, look here, look here. And you realize, and because it comes out of his own mouth, he did not feel valued. Did not feel valued. Now, what he chose to do, and this is what I want to get to. Now, you can do this in your own relationships. What he chose to do, and this is amazing for this guy, is he chose to, after about 30 minutes, because he's on this fabulous ranch, and he doesn't have to leave the ranch. And they have all kinds of equipment and things out there for him. He said, you know what? I'm out here in this amazing territory with amazing resources at my fingertips. I'm going to be grateful for that. I don't get to do all the training, but I get to take my dogs and utilize equipment that I don't have access to readily. And I'm going to spend my time doing that. So he texted the person and he said, I'm here. I'm fine if you want to come down, that's great, but I'm going to spend the next 2 hours over here on this section of the ranch. Is that okay with you? And of course it was. And he had this most productive, focused, beautiful day where he was able to change it up with his dogs, which is very healthy with training. He was able to change it up in his own mind. And at the same time, he confided in me that he related it. It kind of like did little snapshots in his brain of how little seemingly random things like being in a restaurant or having been in a large family, how that ended up always making him feel like he was just slighted or devalued. And he decided to change that up, put that on the shelf, and be grateful, and then utilize the resources in front of him. That's what I want you to do with your boyfriend. All right. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle Live.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We're walking today on this path of life together, as always. And I'm so thankful for people who talk with me, who just here and there. Sometimes I won't hear from a particular listener for 8-9 months, and then all of a sudden, here again. So it's great always to get a follow-up. Some people will write back and say, oh my gosh, I have gotten into counseling and done very well. Things are much better. Or I thought things were better and boom, boom, got something like that yesterday. I was thinking things were better. We went to counseling. Everything was great for almost 8 months. And then boom, same old thing. So life is an ongoing process. That sounds so trite, but it's so true. And we lose sight of that. It's very hard to do things when, again, the cliches, you can't see the forest for the trees. When you're in it, you can't always see it. And you need to remember that with your friends and loved ones. Well, why didn't you see it? Everyone else saw it. Why didn't you see it? You lived it every day. Why didn't you say anything? Something in us just allows us to continue to wait. Or to be so involved in other things that might be things you need to. Maybe you have a sick mother, sick father, and sick children, or children and brothers and sisters and other issues and nieces and nephews, and you just, life goes by quickly. It's kind of like skipping on stones over a river. You take a lot of territory and things before you know it, you're on the other side. You just skip over things and then nothing has changed and you wonder why things don't change. So in your own life, back to my listener. So if you're listening today, thank you, number one. Number two, the crux of the thing is to take a look at yourself and see, do I feel this way a lot? Now in my listener's life, the way she described it to me, the way you describe it to me, it's not that way. But really take a look. Do I feel that all the time? Or what am I doing? Am I doing anything that helps foster this relationship in this manner? Have I said anything? If you really feel secure in the relationship, if you feel like you're not going to get shut down, you can say something. Oftentimes people don't say anything because the method is working. It's not just about where you go on what night. It's that you now have been trained to not open your mouth. Because what do we always do? Every form of life on this planet avoids pain and goes to pleasure. And if that pain is going into a dark area and you're a reptile, and the pleasure is to go out and lay on a rock in the sun, that's what you're going to do. You don't always think it through. It is just something that you do. So we tend to then, that's how we get worn down. So are you at that point where you feel like it just like, oh, it's just going to be futile. So it's easier to give in. If that's the case and you're feeling undervalued, you're feeling not valued like this gentleman did. This was an amazing thing for this big, strong guy who dresses up in those big padded outfits and lets German shepherds run at him and bite his arm on command. He felt like he wasn't valued. And it went to a place in him from his upbringing in a very large home where he was one of many with parents who could not be right there attending to his needs. And then in the other relationships, as we talked a little bit more, it only took a couple minutes really to talk with him. But the reality is that this is what he was feeling inside. When it all came down to it, you can be all huffy puffy and you can get all your muscles up and say, hey, man, you know, this isn't what this is. You know, this isn't right. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm going to go find another place. What he felt was devalued. His time was not valued, and that made him feel less than. And he made a decision, which was great. He made the decision. He had enough sense of self to say, you know what? I'm kind of doing this. I'm fueling the fire here. I'm going to make, not just make this, but this already is a gift. I can do something I would love to do that I just don't really have the resources to do right here, because we had all this miscommunication and everybody had their busy lives and they were doing exactly what I do. Having issues come up. I've done that to a million people, he told me. And then just saying, this is what I can do right now. I can utilize these resources. I can look around where I am. I can use all this whole facility. I have it all to myself because they're otherwise occupied. And that's a wonderful thing. So you can do the same thing. You have to look and see, how do you just react? Are you reacting? What are you reacting with? Are you reacting with all the baggage from the past? Or is this the situation that you need to deal with and deal with now? So if you feel like, oh, it's just going to be futile, I'll never get this over, then you got some thinking to do about your relationship, because this isn't going to change unless you make it change. Don't wait. You have to live your life. What is going to be the negative outcome of constantly feeling like you cannot be heard, like you are not heard or seen? And if you even think, well, then I'm going to stand up for myself, but you'll just be sweetly and gently shot down. So therefore you don't even open your mouth because you're not going to move toward what your thinking brain already says is going to be a foregone conclusion. And again, that's not so bad. Sometimes they say, well, you're painting the future. You're predicting the future. No, you aren't. You know that if you happen to go into this territory over here, you are going to get shut down because you're just, you know patterns. If you can hold a job, you can know pretty much, you can predict the future. You can know that if I say this, this is going to happen. You could be pleasantly surprised, but are you waiting for that? So you may want to tread the territory even and approach them. Say, hey, look, we've been going out now for 2 years and I've really been thinking about this. I really like you, or I love you, if you're willing to say that to him, if that's how you feel. And I would like to go this to go further, but this is what, how I've been feeling. I've been feeling that when I say something, I am not heard by you, or that it's not important to you. However you want to put it. If sometimes you can start out depending on the person, I feel unheard. I feel unseen. And the person who is compassionate will say, wow, I really didn't know that. They may have a little bit of defensiveness at first. But sometimes someone who is so seeing things only from their own point of view, even like a naive little kid, not even in an abusive, controlling way, but it is a controlling way. It is controlling. They always get what they want. They learned how to do it, and they learned how to do it nicely. So sometimes those people will find out all the reasons why you shouldn't feel that way. Then you know that's another clue. This is going to be a tough thing to crack. And you have your decisions to make. Is this the point where you say, I don't see myself wanting this in 5 years. Is this going to ever be different? And then you have to have a waiting period of action, an action-packed waiting period of seeing if it's really different. Are they going to be on their best behavior for a while? And will you go back to the same old thing? This is something that's bothering you, listener, dear listener. This is something that's bothering you. So therefore, we have to value you enough to know this is not your cup of tea. This is not something that sits right with you. You don't feel good about this. So good options are to talk this over with a good friend, spiritual advisor, counselor. But in the reality, though, that they can't really see into your life. You have to also honor yourself. You go to God, but you also honor yourself to say, this is how I feel. You can do what this gentleman, this dog trainer did as well. You can look and say, wait a minute, I'm seeing this, but what can I learn from this? Rather than feel, there I go again, being devalued, or worse yet, as some people do, saying, see, everyone is right. Maybe I'm too pushy. Maybe I'm too this, or maybe I'm too that. Maybe I really don't have the value. In which case, you might need to work on your self-esteem. You might need to work on your value. But you truly came and asked the question. Just asking the question tells you that, yeah, you feel that way, okay? The fact that you are distressed enough to ask a question, to reach out, to listen to me, to read books, to go to counselors, tells you that, you know what? You've got all this world out here saying to you something that you're already saying to yourself. And that is, in this relationship, I really like this guy. I really want this to be different. But I've had 2 years now, and I feel very unseen. And it's coming out in very little ways. And it's bothering me. So you need to be able to deal with that. And you either deal with it together, and you have someone on the other side who's receptive, and that will be very, very instructive to you in what your next step would be, if they are receptive or they are not receptive. But you might need to seek some help along the way from some people who really understand that you are feeling undervalued, that you're feeling not seen, and then also to do your own work. So this is an ongoing process. It may benefit by some reflection, by prayer, by some spiritual guidance, by some counseling guidance. Take a look, value yourself, listen to yourself. This is Dr. Michelle. We will join you Monday. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. You've been with me. I'm so thankful on Dr. Michelle Live.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.